Hello and welcome to the Journey Across the Universe podcast. I am your host and tour guide, Brennan Beddoes. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about shooting stars. You have probably seen one of these before. You may have even made a wish once you saw it. But have you ever looked up at the sky and thought, where do shooting stars come from? What are they? And why do we wish when we see them? If so, you are in the right place, because today we are going to be taking a deep dive and learn about these beautiful celestial objects in the next stop on our journey across the universe. To start off, let's talk about what a shooting star actually is. Because, spoiler alert, they're not actually real stars. Sorry to any of you who I just ruined your childhood. But a shooting star is actually something that we call meteors. A meteor is a space object, typically something like little specks of space dust or space rocks, that come into Earth's atmosphere at really high speeds. Because it's entering our atmosphere at such high speeds, it rubs against the air particles in our atmosphere and creates friction. Now, if you've seen any space movie where they have to come back into Earth, like Apollo 13 or any of those other ones, then you'll know that as you come back into the atmosphere and you start experiencing that friction from the air particles, it creates a lot of heat and light, and it can also just burn up. And that is exactly what is happening with shooting stars. The reason why we see that streak of light across the sky is because as these little particles of dust or space rock enter our atmosphere at such high speeds, it's creating such friction that it actually just burns up as it goes across our atmosphere. And so, instead of it actually being a star, like so many of us hoped, I know, it's actually just a little space rock that as it travels through space, it enters Earth's atmosphere and burns up and essentially disintegrates as it moves through the atmosphere and the heat becomes too much for it to handle. Now, there are some things called meteor showers, which you've probably heard before, and you may have even seen one. These meteor showers are when there are a bunch of shooting stars or meteors all at the same time, or in a period of time. An average shooting star is just random space dust or random space rocks that are just falling into Earth's atmosphere by happenstance. It happens all the time. There are millions of meteors that fall into our atmosphere every day. But meteor showers are a little bit more predictable, and we can actually see a lot more of them at nighttime. These meteor showers come about because of things called comets. Now, you've probably heard the word before, but I don't know if you may know what they actually are. Comets are sometimes described as big, dirty snowballs. What they are is they are big rocks in space that are mostly frozen and have a lot of chunks of ice around them. So they're usually irregular shaped and very cold, lots of ice on them, composed of frozen gases and other things like that. And as a comet moves through space, it typically gets attracted to the gravity of a star. Now, I think we know of about 3,000 comets that are orbiting our sun, but there are millions to billions of them throughout the universe. And when a comet gets close enough to said star, the heat from the star will actually start to melt some of those frozen gases and other frozen particles from the comet, creating a little atmosphere around it called coma. Now, I say little, but these atmospheres can actually be as big as some planet, sometimes even bigger. And these atmospheres, called comas, are just the residue of these comets starting to melt and this ice starting to melt off. Because of the heat in this coma atmosphere, the coma actually gets pushed back and becomes a large tail because of these high-speed solar particles from the sun. It actually pushes the coma back into a tail as it travels through space. Now, these tails leave behind a lot of space debris. they leave behind a lot of little particles of dust and little rocks, little pieces of elements like iron and whatnot, and they leave them in their orbiting path. And these comets have very large elliptical paths, so it's essentially a very large oval is what these paths are for their orbit around the sun and other stars. And so in their path, they're leaving behind this huge amount of little space dust and debris. So when the Earth starts to cross in to the orbiting path of a comet, then all of those little specks of dust and rock will start colliding with our atmosphere, creating that heat and friction and those little streaks of light across the sky. So these meteor showers are caused by us crossing the path of the tail of a comet, because that is where there's just a plethora of different things, space dust, rocks, that is coming into contact with our atmosphere. Some of these meteor showers can have 60 to 100 meteors per hour. They're really pretty. This past summer, I actually stayed up until like 4 a.m. watching the Perseids meteor shower, and it was beautiful. It was breathtaking. I saw so many shooting stars, so many meteors, and it was a really cool experience. But yeah, so that is what a shooting star is, usually called a meteor in the science industry. They are really cool objects. They're beautiful objects to see. And those meteor showers, those really cool events that happen pretty often throughout the year, are from the crossing of Earth and the path of a comet, which leaves behind that debris. So now we've talked about what they are, right? And these meteor showers. But have you ever wondered why we always wish upon shooting stars? Ancient philosopher and poet Hayley Williams once said, "Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now." And similarly, one of the most famous crickets to ever walk the earth, Jiminy Cricket, said, "When you wish upon a star, it makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you." Obviously, in pop culture, we have seen that wishing upon a shooting star is no rare occurrence. We have heard about it a lot in the past years and centuries, and it's actually been a pretty common occurrence to hear someone say that they're going to wish upon a shooting star if they ever see one. But the real question is, where did this come from? Why did we start wishing on little objects flying across our sky? And the answer comes from multiple different sources. The first and one of my personal favorite ones is an ancient Greek philosopher, astronomer, and mathematician named Ptolemy theorized this. He said that shooting stars came from the heavens. Every time that the gods were bored or interested on how the humans were doing, they would open up the heavens and look down and see what the humans were doing. By doing this, they were opening up heaven and allowing all of these stars to come falling down. And that is where you get shooting stars. The idea that you wish upon them is that because the heavens are open and all these stars are falling out, if you wish upon a star, then it is most likely that the gods will hear you because the heavens are open. Some other theories about where these come from ancient Rome and Greece. Because they didn't have the same kind of technology and scientific advancement that we do, they had to get creative with where these things came from and how to explain the world around them. That's where a lot of Greek and Roman mythology comes from. And they did not stop when it came to shooting stars. Many of these civilizations thought that shooting stars were predictors of good or bad events. They often associated them with future good luck or bad luck. It's even said that there was a comet in the sky right before Julius Caesar was killed, and some theorize that the star described in the Bible in Jesus's birth was an actual comet. So many civilizations thought that if there was a meteor shower, a shooting star, or a comet, then it meant that either something really good or really bad was about to happen. There's also some Christian legends saying that whenever somebody died, they would rise up to heaven in the form of a shooting star. This is kind of similar to the Ptolemy theory, because the same kind of idea here is that the heavens are open, meaning that if you were to make a wish, then you would have your wish answered because the heavens are open. So yeah, because of the lack of scientific advances that were made in these ancient times, they had to explain the world around them somehow. And I think it's really interesting that because of the way that we cherish those kinds of mythologies, we continue to carry it on, and it's become a tradition to wish upon a shooting star whenever we see one, all because of these ancient Greek and Roman civilizations that were just trying to explain the world around them. So now we've talked about why you wish on a shooting star, and also what a shooting star is. It's just a meteor. But I know that some of you are still a little disappointed that these are not actual stars. So next, let's talk about some actual shooting stars. We've already talked about how shooting stars aren't actually stars. They're just little bits of space dust or space rock that come zooming through our atmosphere and burn up and create this streak of light. They were actually only named shooting stars because they had a very strong resemblance to the little dots of light that we know as stars, and they were seen zooming across the sky, so we named them shooting stars. But what if I told you that there's actually something out there that more resembles the name shooting star? These are called hypervelocity stars, which is a way cooler name than shooting star, in my opinion. But these hypervelocity stars essentially start from a binary star system. These are systems where there are two stars essentially orbiting around each other. Now, how that works is when there's a two-object system out in space, and both of them are pretty similar in mass, instead of orbiting around a object or each other, they typically orbit around a point called the barycenter. The barycenter is the center of mass of the system, which both objects of the system rotate around. So, in a binary star system, you have these two stars that are rotating around its barycenter. And once it gets close to a large gravity-altering type object, much like the black holes that we talked about in last week's episode, then it can actually alter how these stars react. And in one way, it can actually tear this binary star system apart. If this were to happen, then one of the stars would be shot off at incredibly high speeds throughout the galaxy, even enough to escape the gravitational pull of the galaxy, and would just shoot right out of the galaxy. These stars are moving at incredible speeds. We're talking over hundreds of thousands of miles per hour. They are moving so fast that they're actually able to overcome the gravitational pull of our galaxy. And at first, scientists thought that hypervelocity stars could only be created when a binary star system gets too close to a supermassive black hole, much like the one in the center of our galaxy. But very recently, we were actually able to find a hypervelocity star that its path didn't quite meet up with a supermassive black hole. But that's typically what they are, and scientists have long theorized about these and have essentially proved the existence of them. And I don't know, I think these are really interesting because I think it's just kind of funny to think about how an object the size of our sun or bigger is just moving at incredibly high speeds just throughout the galaxy, and the path that it would have taken if it started near the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy. So now scientists are trying to figure out what could cause a hypervelocity star besides a supermassive black hole. And to be honest with you, we still don't know. We still don't know what could have caused that hypervelocity star to shoot across our galaxy without it being. It's just really interesting to think about. And it is a lot closer to what I picture when I think of a shooting star than when I think of a meteor. And so hypervelocity stars are probably closer to what you would think of as a shooting star. And so now we've talked about what a shooting star is. It's just a meteor, which is just a piece of space dust or space rock going through and disintegrating in our atmosphere. We've talked about why we wish on shooting stars and what a real shooting star is with these hypervelocity stars. So now let's go and talk about some fun facts regarding shooting stars. So now that we've gone over a basic overview of shooting stars and kind of talked about what they are, some context surrounding them, I want to talk to you about some of my favorite fun facts that I've come across in my research for these shooting stars. And I think you'll like them too. So one of my favorite things that I've come across is that shooting stars can actually burn in different colors. This is because different meteors are made up of different elements, and each element burns a different color. Now, there is a super scientific, super chemistry-based explanation that I can give you on this, but that's super complex. I don't really want to get into it, so I'll just keep it to this. Different elements burn with different colors because each element has a different amount of energy that is released when it burns and when it gives off light. And so because of the different amounts of energy released when it is burned, it has different frequencies and our eyes see it as different colors. For example, a very common meteor is iron. A lot of meteors are made of iron. And when meteors burn up in our atmosphere, they actually glow yellow. So it's actually a really cool thing that these different shooting stars, these meteors, burn different colors and can actually go across our night sky from all different kinds of colors. Another really interesting thing that I found about shooting stars is that there are really big ones that are called fireballs, and these can actually be seen during the day because they are so bright. So these really bright fireballs, you can actually see them in the middle of the day, and sometimes they can even turn a night sky into what looks like the morning or an evening type situation. They are that bright, and they typically don't fall onto the Earth, but if they do, then that is what is called a meteorite. It stems from the word meteor, and so once it makes contact with the Earth, it is called a meteorite, and these are what you see in the pop culture movies and other references where an alien comes crashing down or there's some kind of space rock that makes a crater. All of these things are meteorites. These are pretty rare. They don't happen quite often, but they do happen every once in a while and they can create some pretty big craters. One of the most scary events that have happened with a meteor is actually called the Tunguska event. I think I'm saying that right. Where a very large meteor, we're talking about 100 meters in diameter, came through the atmosphere and started burning up. But because it was so large, it actually made it until it was just about 5 kilometers above the surface, and then it exploded. It could no longer handle all of the heat from the friction, and it exploded. Luckily, it exploded over a forest, and not many people were hurt, but it flattened 80 million trees in this forest and did damage to over 830 square miles in Russia, is where this happened. And it happened, I believe, in about 1908. And so this huge event actually created a lot of damage and didn't actually leave a crater because it never actually hit the Earth, but it is considered an impact event because a space object came down and had so much damage. This isn't confirmed, but it was actually rumored that 3 people died from this event, and there was a lot of property damage and building damage from a town nearby because it was just that big of an explosion. So that is a kind of scary aspect of shooting stars and meteors. But thankfully, that was a really long time ago, and that was the last kind of big impact event that we've seen. And usually when meteors come and actually hit the surface, there's not that much damage, and it's a pretty rare event. So one more fun fact is that meteor showers are actually named after the constellation that they are near when it happens. So earlier in this episode, I talked about an experience that I had when I watched the Perseids meteor shower, and that one's usually in August. So these meteor showers are named by where the meteors typically occur and what constellation is in the sky near that event. So for example, the Perseids meteor shower that happens around August is next to the Perseus constellation. And if you look up when and where these constellations and meteor showers are, you'll typically find it with a name associated with that constellation. Another example is the Leonids meteor shower, which is related to the constellation Leo. So those are all my fun facts. I hope you enjoyed them, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully now you have some basic knowledge about what a shooting star is, and I hope the next time that you look up into the sky and see that bright streak of light across the sky, you will have a little bit more understanding about why you should make that wish and how it will come true. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Journey Across the Universe podcast. If you liked it, please leave a positive review. I'd really appreciate it, and it really helps the show to grow. Another way to support is to tell all of your friends and family about this marvelous adventure that we have embarked on. We are always welcoming new passengers. Follow our Instagram account at Journey Across the Universe for updates on the show and to know when the next episode will drop. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you next time on Journey Across the Universe.